Oh, I'm pardon. Hello and welcome to Pod Culture Vultures.
Did you fuck my mom, Santa Claus? Did you fuck my mom? Did you fuck her? Did you fuck my fucking mom?
With me, Dino, and joined with me, as always, is my hetero life mate, Keverinosh. Hey there, Kevin, baby, how's it hanging, darling?
Bonsoir, baby, bonsoir.
1 week till Crimbo.
I know, where's the time gone, eh? Where's it gone?
Oh, it seems like only a year ago we were set. Oh, yeah, it was.
It was, wasn't it? Yeah.
So wow. this is a special, what we're doing right now, a special. End of year wrap, so 2023, all wrapped up.
Or as best as we can get it wrapped up.
It's gone so quickly, we can't even remember what we've done.
No, exactly, I can't remember last week.
Why at the bum?
No, I'm done.
No, not the arse.
So what have we got up to then this year?
Well,
some of the things we can look back on.
Well, one of the things that springs to mind straight away is when we went to see Limp Bizkit, which was fucking great, at the
Wembley Arena, that was.
Wembley Arena.
Drove up there, didn't we?
You did, and I'm very grateful for that. We wouldn't have been able to get a bloody train.
Wunderbar, though. You can't get a train for love nor money these days.
Wunderbar.
When was that? When we got to see Limp Bizkit?
July, wasn't it? Because it was supposed to be last year.
Yeah. It was one of those gigs when a lot of them got postponed and rescheduled.
Yeah.
Was it really in the summer?
Yeah.
Ah.
It was July, yeah. Definitely was July.
July.
Quite a while ago. But yeah, that was good. It was interesting. Good to see old Red Cap.
Well, he didn't have a Red Cap, did he? Come out on the old blue Kangol thing.
Oh, yeah.
The old Samuel L. Jackson.
Samuel L. Beardface.
Yeah, he did have a bit of a beard, didn't he?
Oh, yeah. Dad vibes.
That's it, yeah. Where's Borland all dressed up again, isn't he? In his naughty gear.
He was dressed up like, it looked like one of the things from Bone Tomahawk. That film with Kurt Russell.
Fucking horrible, that film.
Yeah. That's got one of the worst cannibal scenes ever. Yeah.
I just didn't see it coming. Do you know what? I never read anything about it. I just knew that Kurt Russell was in this Western with a massive tash, either before or after
Hateful Eight.
Yeah, because it was the same look, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And he had a... I think there was a... Who else did you have? The guy from Lost, wasn't it, didn't you? The main guy from Lost. But there's a few like really good cast members, and I just thought that looks like a good sort of old school like Western.
It was a good premise, because also your native Indians,
yeah,
they were kind of a little bit different where
Americans.
What did I say?
Native Americans.
Oh yeah, native Americans.
Yeah.
But
don't they kidnap like one of the town's daughters or something like that?
Yeah, but they're kind of like cannibals, but they've also worked out that they can, if they've taken the bone from an animal and they jam it into their throat and they can make the same noises as the animal, so they can kind of communicate like that. But yeah, that one of the scenes that near towards the end is pretty,
it's horrific, isn't it?
Yeah,
there's not many scenes in films where I do physically feel sick, but because I didn't expect it, I had no idea that was coming.
I don't think Kurt Russell did either.
No, nor did I. Even for real. The bloody hell. But yeah, Limp Bizkit was awesome. They played all the tunes, didn't they? All the old classics.
Yeah, they did.
And I think we managed to stay for, was it Break Stuff? And then we had to basically skedaddle, didn't we?
No, Break Stuff was the encore. We left. Just they only did that because they finished with that.
Yeah.
But I think the support act came back on and did that with them. With them.
Yeah, that was good. Really good to see them.
And yeah, like this time next year, we'll be going to see your favourite.
Oh, yeah, yeah. For the 11th time.
Yeah. I saw him at Reading, but I don't know if that really counts. Slipknot.
Did we see them together at Reading?
Mm.
Yeah. They'll have a new drummer by then. Will we see him next year?
Will they? Well, another one died.
No, they fired him.
Why, was he shit?
No, he was brilliant.
What are they firing for then?
I don't know. Creative differences they've cited.
Oh, he's probably trying to take over.
Probably. Also, the samplers left this year as well. There's not many original members left.
Yeah, well, what's his name still in it, isn't he? Corey.
Yeah. The man himself.
So the man's rest room could be any fucker underneath us.
It could be Corey Feldman for all we know.
Just reminds me of that Thin Blue Line when they're robbing the bank.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And he pulls the mask off. And it's like probably thinks he's a student, doesn't he? And it's a bank robber. Plenty of mature students. Lob us the pizza.
Who else did we see this year?
Well, we saw Simon Day.
From the Far Show.
From the Far Show, at a very intimate gig here, down Old Portsmouth. And he did Dave Angel, one of his characters.
Oh,
yeah. And he did Billy Bleach, which was very funny. And he also did a poet.
He did several, didn't he? In that,
there was four, I think. He did four, but I can't remember all of them. I know he did the poet, but I thought he was going to finish with Dave Angel because it was kind of advertised as Dave Angel.
Yeah, we both did, didn't we? The, yeah. Didn't he? Wasn't that the one he did just before the intermission?
Yes.
Yeah.
Pardon me. But yeah, I thought he was very good though.
And we were front row, weren't we?
We were front row, yes.
Yeah, right up against it all.
Yeah. Because he nipped back on, didn't he, when he went for the break? Because he was trying to duck down as if he wasn't going to be seen. And you went, oi, oi. And he said it back, didn't he?
That's it, yeah.
Of course, the other one we saw, Garth Marenghi.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
That was good. That was very good. You even got to have a little chat with him, didn't you?
Oh, I did, didn't I? Yeah, you recorded that, didn't we, for the episode?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So that, and again, that was quite an... what was the word again?
Intimate,
yeah. So, yeah, but Southampton, wasn't it? It was like a really good venue, but it was pretty small.
Yeah, because I thought it was at the Mayflower.
But it was at the Mayflower...
Something.
Yeah.
Which something. Is a smaller venue. Nice venue. Nice upstairs, really nice. Downstairs. And then quite good bar sections as well, where you could actually get served.
Yeah. And the staff were really nice. And yeah, managed to get to ask Merengue a question.
Yeah.
Which was good.
And he was good. He was funny. I like that. Yeah. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah, because it's been quite a while. I mean, that show must be about 20 years old now. No.
Yeah, it was about 2005.
Yeah.
I think it was about that. Similar time to when The Boosh came out and...
Nathan Barley.
I forget about that. That's one of my favourite...
That's brilliant, that is. But you just can't get that, can you, for Love Nor
Money? I got it.
You got it on DVD?
Yeah.
Can you get it on DVD?
Yeah.
I didn't even know you could get it on DVD.
Yeah, you can. It's just like a special Ponzi... Banksy type thing.
Oh, is it?
And you get a book with it which has got all that artwork in it.
What, can you get it on like Amazon or something?
Yeah, I mean, I got it years ago. But yeah, there's a little book in it. Do you know the when he interviews the bloke in the gallery and it's all people like Jamie Oliver jumping in the air having a piss. And then David Bowie pissing through the letterbox at number 10. And then Kylie Minogue jumping up in the air with a wet patch. I knew her piss was real because it smelled of beans. yeah, was it? Someone else pissing in a toaster. Yeah, but yeah, no, I love that. That was Charlie Brooker and Chris Morris, that's why.
It's just the one, wasn't it? Just the one series.
It was, yeah, because that's Chris Morris, isn't it? Yeah. But it was only one series. It was so ahead of its time, though. Because I think at the time, when I first watched a couple of episodes, I thought, I don't know if I like this. And then I got into it, and then it's like, it's because everything happens in London a little bit before everywhere else.
Yeah.
And it was the rise of the idiots.
Yeah.
People going to clubs dressed as fucking beekeepers and what have you.
What's he got in his hair? Didn't he put like paint in his hair or something like that? It's a mistake, though, isn't it?
Well, it's because Julian Barrett falls asleep in a load of paint and stuff, doesn't he?
That's right.
And then he goes to Kevin Eldon's hairdresser to get it cut.
Yeah.
And he does half of it, and then Julian Barrett accidentally knocks his scissors into his cat's head.
That's right.
And obviously it dies, but it's his pride and joy cat. Elizabeth. Elizabeth the cat. Love Elizabeth. Don't look for your scissors. And he gives him 50 quid and walks off. So he's got half hair with loads of paint and stuff in it, and then the other half's been cut. And he bumps into Nathan Barley, so he goes and gets the same haircut. A geek pie.
That's the geek pie.
There's some brilliant, yeah, really good.
Because he's got the phone, isn't he? Like it's in the shape of a bee, but it's like a little mixing desk. He's got another
It's the shape of a bee, and he said that the number 5's bigger because that's the most used number.
Yeah.
And he opens it up and it's got decks on it.
So, yeah.
And someone finds him, fucking up. Yes! Barley. But it's actually got the guy who's really, he's really quite famous now. He's been a lot, isn't he Q in the Bond films now?
Oh, Ben Whishaw?
Yeah, because he's Pingu in it, yeah.
I can't remember that.
Do you not remember him being Pingu? He's just fucking, Barley just picks on him all the time, like playing pranks.
Nah, it's been a while since I've watched it. That's mad though, if it is.
Yeah, we'll have to watch them. Maybe we'll do an episode on that next year. Anyway, we divulge.
As per usual. So we were talking about, yeah, that live gigs. We said about that we'd seen the Limp Bizkit, Simon Day, Garth Marenghi.
That's all I can remember for now of that this year. I've got a couple of gigs, live things I'm going to next year. But well, I'll talk about that in the next bit.
About that next year.
Yeah. So I was trying to think of films that came out this year that warrant speaking about. But the only film I went to see at the cinema was Indy 5.
What did you think of that again? Because I still haven't seen it.
The thing is,
did you like it because it was Indiana Jones or?
I just automatically liked it before, mate.
Yeah.
No, I think I do want to watch it again. The thing that I didn't like about it is bloody, what's her name in it? Fleabag.
Oh, yeah.
She's fucking annoying. But I thought the thing with it is, they did the deep fake thing at the beginning, and I think it works. Yeah. I think it works. It's still his voice and everything, but he's younger, and it wasn't like that. To my mind, they could possibly do a whole film like that, and I'd be all right watching it because it's more Indiana Jones, isn't it? But
yeah.
That's by the by. But they did, and try and ignore the fact that he is an old man now.
Oh really? You know, he's still running around and all this lot.
He is, but he's still people like they're making comments about it, but it's. Without giving away too many spoilers, just the funny bit is when it comes out of the flashback,
yeah.
It comes right up to the time that it's supposed to be.
Present day it's supposed to be,
which is the late 60s.
Right.
And he's just asleep in an armchair with, like, obviously a empty tumbler in his hand. And then his neighbours downstairs put on Sergeant Pepper, yeah. The Beatles, and he cops and he just saying, "What's this rubbish?" But you know, I just thought he's even in the last one, the fucking Crystal Skull, they still didn't try and make out he was younger.
Yeah,
I think they still went and made sort of comments about it, but they shouldn't have gone the sci-fi route with him. And in that one, he got blown up in a nuclear bomb and just sat.
It was just too far-fetched, that one.
Yeah.
There was no need. I mean, there was no need to do any more after the third one, because the third one ends perfectly.
It does, but there was always been a thing of it possibly happening. I think the new one that came out this year was better than the Crystal Skull.
Was it?
But not anywhere near as good as Division 3. Same as Star Wars stuff. I mean, I like quite a lot of the new stuff that's coming out, but it's still not as good as the original.
No.
But I think you've got to let go of that and be like, right, I'm going to go into this with a new, fresh mind and then see what it's like. Some of it's crap, but some of it is quite good. And it's just more Star Wars. I mean,
yeah. When they get it, like, well, I say when they get it right. When you really like some of it, like Rogue One and Solo.
Rogue One and Solo are the best two, I think.
But because they were like the standalone ones, well, weren't they? When you had the Skywalker Saga ones, sometimes I couldn't really work out what it was trying to be. Was it supposed to be like a sequel, a reboot, a remake?
Oh, but the three after.
The Skywalker Saga ones. Yeah, whereas like Rogue One, you knew exactly where it was because it was set at a specific moment in time and you knew what was going to happen for it to stay true to its story. Solo was meant to be a new trilogy, but it was obviously set way before. But they were outside of that sort of Skywalker Saga.
Which I think is where the interesting stuff happens, because it's more, you know, it opens up the world more.
Yeah.
The universe, sorry. But yeah, I think when they brought it back, which was, what was that one called? The
Force
Awakens. I quite liked that when I saw it at the cinema. I was gutted that they killed off Han Solo.
But he's been trying to do that for years, though.
Yeah, I know, but then he regretted it, didn't he? But I think that had the potential to think, wait, okay, they've got it right this time. They're not relying on CGI. You're setting your foot on fire again.
Yeah, I know.
Do you want to move that back?
No, I just need to move my foot. I know when I look too close, my toes starts getting really toasty.
Fucking spoke coming off the end of your shoe there. Mounted rubber. Yeah, but then the second one, I thought, just absolutely fucked it. It was almost like the person who got to direct it thought, right, I'm going to undo everything that's happened in the first one, Force Awakens, and just sort of take a big shit on it.
It was mad because it was directed by Rian Johnson, who made Looper.
But I just don't know what he was trying to achieve by doing it, because it's like they had a big thing about Snook or whatever it was.
Who? Oh, Snook.
Snook, yeah.
Andy Serkis.
And then it got killed in the second one. Luke Skywalker's character wasn't right, and I think even to the point where Mark Hamill was saying to the director, this isn't how...
Yeah, what the fuck are you doing to my boy?
Yeah. And he wouldn't have it, would he? So, fuck him. Anyway, that's Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah, maybe one day I'll get round to watch it. I was in no rush or no sort of desire to watch it this year.
No. Might be worth watching over Christmas. Bit of nostalgia.
I think the one film for me... I mean, I'll go into it in a minute. There was a number of... The older films I got to see at the cinema again this year.
Oh, yeah.
I think for me the two films that really stuck out for me was Oppenheimer.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that in IMAX, and then the other one was, and again I saw it in IMAX, was Mission Impossible.
Mm.
You know, two big films, you know, produced, made by two, you know, big stars, big directors.
Mm.
But with the sole purpose of these stories being on the biggest screen you can see.
Yeah.
And they were just absolutely phenomenal. I mean, from the moment of Oppenheimer starting... Did you see Oppenheimer in them?
No.
the moment of seeing that, like, when it starts off and it's like inside, like the, an atomic explosion sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which is like a dream sequence for Oppenheimer himself. But it's just like the sheer like sound design of it. Yeah. It's just like the speakers are all like vibrating. You're sitting there and you're like vibrating. You're right there in the middle of it. And then something like Mission Impossible, where you're right alongside the cruise, he's on a motorcycle and rides off the bloody cliff and skydives.
Yeah, I think I'd probably be all right with Mission Impossible, but Oppenheimer is directed by
Christopher Nolan.
Your mate, yeah. But she's fine. You like him. I think, obviously, the man's got some talent, but I just can't sit through it. It doesn't...
It doesn't appeal to you.
No, and that's not... It's difficult to try and say, but for myself, it's a level of film that I can't get to. It's a filmmaker's film, if you see what I mean.
Is it because you may think that it doesn't simply wash over you? I'm not to say that all the films you watch just wash over you, but do you think that maybe it could be too complex in its sort of thought provoking nature? But you're gonna have to concentrate a lot.
That's the problem I have with it is you have to concentrate and you've got to invest in it, right? And I find it difficult to do that with some films because you think you've got a real passion and love for his filmmaking. I liked the Batman trilogy that he did, but for me, this is just my opinion. I preferred Burton's Batman.
Yeah.
And I really liked the new Batman.
Mm.
Which, was that last year?
No, that's like... Was that last year? No, it was like a couple of years ago now.
Was it? Oh, Patterson.
Matt Reeves one, yeah.
But... Yeah, you. I think you've got to really invest in wanting to really listen to what's going on. With Nolan, he has quite a lot of prolonged shots which don't have dialogue in, or there's bits of dialogue here and there, and then it's a filmmaker's film, I think, his films, but. That's just my opinion. I watched some shit that you wouldn't even fucking entertain watching.
No. You've walked my arse, but we have it in the house.
I know. But it's all art, isn't it? It's all subjective. It
is. Yeah, absolutely.
You can't dismiss it. I mean, I watch a lot of horror / slasher, low budget films and things, and sometimes they're good. Sometimes they're shite, but you don't have to invest as much, I suppose, in that. Although I think for you to sit down and watch some of these films, you'd have to invest time in thinking, I've got to take this for what it is. Like exploitation films, for instance.
Yeah, that would be more of a just wash over me. Whereas if I go to watch like a Nolan movie, then it's not like going to watch a movie for me. It's like it's an experience. It's like an experience of kind of like no other when watching, you know, some art of cinema. Some like mindless hacking horror movie, I've got to kind of let go of that. It should then just wash over me.
Yeah,
and I don't have to invest in, you know, the sound design of this movie is making me feel like this, and you know, this emotional arc to the characters making me feel like that.
I think, for me as well, with regards to the horror films and stuff like that is the same connection I have with punk music. Yeah. It's almost like I think that's something I could do myself.
Yeah.
You know, like some of these lower budget horror films, I think it'd be great if we could just come up with something a little bit different, but be able to, yeah, you know what I mean? You could do that.
Have a swing at it.
Yeah. But there's a lot of 70s and 80s exploitation films that I think are really good. I watched a Russ Meyer film.
Was it a Russian film then?
No, Russ Meyer. You know, porn gazer.
Yeah, yeah.
Vixens, super vixens.
Yeah.
Didn't make sense, really. Not a lot of sense, but there was a lot of bucks and women in it.
Yeah.
And
was this what you were saying about the other episode?
No, that was I watched them, the Ilse
films. Oh, that's it, yeah. That's it.
Which is one, she's a German lady, and it's basically sort of like sort of women in prison type films and
yeah,
that sort of thing, but just a bit of escapism. But funny enough, the other day I watched a film that I've been meaning to watch for a while. It's called Running with the Devil. And it's a film from the 70s. And it stars Peter Fonda. And basically what it is Peter Fonda and his older brother with their partners. They got like a Winnebago type thing. And they got their motorbikes on the back. And they go out and just think, we're going to have to do a bit of a cross country sort of thing. They end up in this town, and inadvertently, whilst spying into the woods, they see a Satanist group sacrificing a young girl type thing.
Fucking hell.
Yeah.
And so then it just goes real mad.
They clock them, and then obviously they start running after them. Anyway, they drive away, and every time they think they've got to the next town and away from it, there's more of these people that are connected to these.
It's like a whole chase movie sort of thing.
Sort of thing like that, but each town they go into, there's these people are sort of
interconnected community.
Community of Satanists / witches type thing.
Oh, see, that sounds awesome. I love chase movies.
Yeah, and every time they get somewhere, they got to go
What's
again.
What's it called?
I think it's called
Running with the Devil.
Running with the Devil, something like that. It's Peter Fonda. The reason why I remember seeing this, I think Kevin Smith mentioned it in something he was talking about.
Yeah.
Years ago, and I only watched it the other day. Yeah, but it's quite good as well, because obviously they go to these sort of campsite places.
Yeah.
And then there's people kind of staring at them, and they think, are they being paranoid or is that actually happening? And then they sort of go out for a drink, they come back, get in the old Winnebago, decide to make a coffee, open the cupboard, and they've put rattlesnakes in there.
Jesus.
And obviously that's a... But yeah, it's quite a good movie. Cult type movie. But yeah.
Running with the Devil. There's quite a few Running with the Devil. 1973.
I think it's 75. It's the Peter Fonda one, anyway. Peter Fonda!
No, there's one with Nicolas Cage and Lawrence Fishburne.
Yeah, it's not that one. Is that a remake, mate? I haven't even had a remake.
No, I don't think so. Can't seem to find the Peter Fonda one, though.
It's probably called something else, then. I think Running with the Devil's the Van Halen song, isn't it?
That's mad, there's like so many of them with the same title. You'd think that you could make a film, you'd call it something slightly different, wouldn't you? I'm going to call my movie Running with the Devil. Hang on a minute, I'll just check to see if there's any other films that name the same. Yeah, there's a fuck ton of them. Right. Oh, fuck it, yeah, we'll just call it Running with the Devil as well. They seem to do a Running with the Devil like every other year. Maybe it is something different.
I'll just see if I can find it.
See if you can find it. See if you can find it.
That's TV's own Rob Walker there.
It's not Race with the Devil, is
that's
it?
That's it.
Oh, that's it. Race for the Devil. Yeah, found it. Yeah. Sorry. Warren Oates, Peter Fonda.
Yeah.
Beach da Fonda.
Yeah, sorry. Race with the Devil. Yeah, that's it. Because they're racing off to...
Oh, yeah. I'll give that a whirl. Perfect for you, isn't it? Look at that. 1 hour, 28 minutes.
Most of the things I watch is only that.
Well, I'll give that a whirl. Yeah.
That's quite good. As I say, this year, that's what I've kind of been focusing on, is going back and watching a lot of these sort of films that I haven't got round to seeing. Some of them are shite.
Yeah.
Real shite.
I'll tell you a good one I saw this year. I don't know if you've seen it by now. It was a film called The Creator. Going back to when we were talking about Star Wars a minute ago, the director of Rogue One, Gareth Edwards, has directed this movie called The Creator with John David Washington. And it's a sci-fi movie.
Mm.
And it's just, you would love it. It's brilliant on so many different levels. But probably the best thing about it was just the look of it. It was one of those films, one of those sci-fi movies. It just looked so original, so fucking good. Like, it just took me back to films like, the design, of Aliens, and then of RoboCop and Starship Troopers. Ooh. And you get these sort of some of these films, and like the art design of it is just so original, yeah. And so cool. A lot of like Empire Strikes Back and 2001 Space Odyssey, these kind of sci-fi movies. And the design of this movie, The Creator, was just astounding. And when things were big, like if there was like a big like tank, or there's like big structures, they're absolutely gargantuan. Like got these massive wide shots, and like the characters are walking by, and then like the camera's tracking them, and then it will it will sort of tilt upwards to show you even like the footing of these structures which go up into the clouds. Even like the bottom parts, the foundation of these buildings are so big, it's really hard to comprehend. And then you see like ships go by and things like that, and they just look so small.
I'll have to give that a go.
Yeah,
I like that. Yeah, I do like that sort of thing. Yeah, I do like a lot of the old retro type stuff. You can't beat it. I watched a film called The New Kids. Which is a film from the 80s, mid-80s. And it's so strange. Yeah. It is so strange. Because it's like a coming-of-age drama, like a John Hughes type thing. But it's so much more sinister than that. These brother and sister, they lose their parents in a car accident, and they have to move with their uncle to this new town. And... they move to a new school, and obviously there's like the cool kids and all that. And the leader of the cool kids is, what's his name?
For some reason, I thought you were going to say Ralph Macchio.
No, not Ralph, no. What's his name? He normally plays, fucking hell.
Does he really?
What's his name?
What's he in? What's he been in for a start?
Was he in Mannequin?
Andrew McCarthy?
No, the other guy. The guy that played the baddie, but we didn't...
Bailey from...
No. No. It's...
Please again, I mean.
It's more obvious than that. Oh, fucking hell, I can't remember his name. What's his name? Not Space. Spade.
Oh, James Spader.
Yes.
James Spader, yeah. Stargate. He's in Stargate with Kurt Russell. He's also in the TV show The Blacklist. I've never seen
him.
That.
Yeah. Him. James Spader.
Yeah.
He plays the leader of the sort of jock guys. But... it's different because it's so sinister. He asks the sister out and she kind of says no. And he just goes straight away, starts going, who the fuck do you think you are to say no to me, sort of thing. And then they just start picking on him straight away, like to the point of where they want to kill him.
What?
Yeah.
It's a bit extreme, isn't it?
It is a bit, and Eric Stoltz is in it as well. He's the boyfriend who ends up the boyfriend of the girl. Anyway, the uncle lives on a farm, sort of thing, and he's for some weird reason he's trying to build a theme park. Right? Why not? So they're sort of helping out, trying to get all the rides and everything sorted out. Anyway, towards the end, there's a big shootout at this fucking fun fair where they've got rifles and stuff. And it's like, these are just kids that are supposed to have had a bit of beef at school and fucking shoot the uncle and all that. Then one of them, they've also got the dog, they've got a dog that's they're training to attack.
Right.
That ends up in the wrong. Well, they're going to pour, what they're going to do is they're going to pour this pig's blood on the girl.
Right.
So the dog goes over and mauls her. But anyway, she manages to escape and knocks the thing up there, and one of them ends up with an arm, so he has his neck all bitten out and all that.
It's like a bunch of mentalists.
Anyway, it's just really, it's just extreme. It's like, it's bizarre. It's a bizarre film.
It's on another level, what it sounds
like. But it's just like, it should be just a normal coming of age drama where there's a bit of bullying and stuff like that. And then they've just thought, we're going to have to fucking turn it up a notch. So it's not, we don't want another Karate Kid sort of thing. We're just going to fucking blow the shit out of everything. And then at the end, the uncle's obviously survived. And then he's selling his theme park based on the massacre that happened there. Anyway, that was, the New Kids. Very strange. But just to move on, I was going to say, the film for me this year, there hasn't been anything that's come out this year that's really grabbed me, but the film I watched was called Even Lambs Have Teeth.
That sounds familiar.
It's I might have mentioned it before, but it's one of those, I don't know, it might be a Shudder film, but it's a really good one. It's about these two girls are kidnapped.
They're
drugged and kidnapped and sort of like put in these
containers.
Put in a container, and they're obviously sex trafficked sort of thing.
Yeah.
Where they're obviously getting blokes to go and pay for.
Yeah.
Anyway, at one point the sheriff turns up and they sort of run to him and say, oh, thank God you're in on it. Of course
he's in on it.
Of course he is. But it very much reminded me like of I Spit on Your Grave, which is obviously it's a difficult, I Spit on Your Grave is quite a difficult film to watch, but if you can get past what actually happens to the woman, which is horrendous, but when she goes into revenge mode, it's like, yes, this is where you should
fuck them up.
Yeah. Anyway, these two girls in Even Lambs Have Teeth, they fucking go for it, mate.
Yeah.
Proper go for
it. I think it's the ones you were saying before, and it's just like, it's really like quite graphic and stuff of what they do.
Pretty much, yeah. They get,
it's like a rod up somewhere.
Well, what they do is they get a tree log, basically, and I think it's got barbed wire or something round it.
Yeah.
Anyway, they bend this geezer over the table. He fucking deserves it and rams it right up his ass.
Fucking.
Someone goes in, you see him, he's just like there's just blood all underneath the table and everything, and he's just like, kill me, kill me.
Yeah.
Christ, you won't be able to poo ever.
Never again.
But it was a good film. It's a good revenge. I do like a revenge film.
Revengey.
Yeah. Like Revenge, that was a really good film. That kind of thing.
Well, that one's really good. The one you recommended me, the Spanish one, that was really good. Revenge, I mean, I'm just even thinking of the other revenge movie with Kevin Costner back in the day where I can loosely remember it, where he's, what is it, he's like married with someone, he's with someone, and for whatever reason they...
Is it No Way Out?
No, I'm sure it's called Revenge. And he did do a film called No Way Out, but I'm sure there's one called Revenge where They attempt to kill him. They believe they've killed him for whatever particular reason, yeah. And he just goes on a revenge like rampage. But that was really good. But I mean, and that's probably, God, I mean, that's probably like late '80s now. Mm. I'd imagine.
Have you seen the remake of Last House on the Left?
No, that's one I always get confused with Jennifer Lawrence, isn't it? Jennifer Lawrence was the other one, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's the house at the end of the street.
That's it, yeah. Yeah. But it could be on the left.
Yeah. No, Last House on the Left originally was the Wes Craven's...
Oh, the Wes Craven one, yeah.
First film, yeah. Which was most shocking film ever, was cast as... I mean, at the time, it probably would be if you see it, but it's not really that bad. I suppose the subject matter is quite bad, but the remake of it, that's quite a good revenge side to it. But yeah, my recommendation for movies this year would be Even Lambs Have Teeth.
Did that come out this year?
No, that's okay. What I mean. It's been out a little while.
Yeah. I was just going to say that I think, for me, like some of the most memorable moments of films for this year, other than the ones I spoke about, I haven't been like new ones. It's been like, you know, the local cinema, replaying like a lot of the older films.
Yeah.
So one for me was getting to see Batman 89.
Oh yeah, screen. Yeah.
Because
I saw that when it first came out on the big screen. Big screen.
Yeah. I didn't get to see it. In fact. I think I've only ever seen it once before on the big screen. And that was brilliant, that was. Absolutely brilliant seeing that on there. Also, to see over three consecutive weekends, your favourite.
Yeah.
The Lord of the Rings.
I wasn't told that you were going to see that, was I?
No.
So that you could do the middle finger up, all of you, at the end.
That was really nice. But that was, you know, it was nice... Because it was something that we all met every week. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? It's like every Saturday, every Saturday, we knew we could do it. And then most recently, I took the old significant other to go watch Interstellar, which is nearly 10 years old.
Is it?
And that's her favourite film, but she never got to see it at the cinema. And it's been a long time, probably has been nearly 10 years since I've seen it at the cinema. And that's an experienced movie. And I think that was there was three Nolan movies I got to see at the cinema this year, because I took the wee lad to go watch Dark Knight Rises as well.
Yeah.
Which was cool.
See, the only one I wish I'd gone to see at the cinema is Jaws, because they did play that, didn't they? But
yeah, but you'll get a chance, because they...
Keep doing that sort of
thing. They show that one quite often, don't they?
I see that... I wouldn't be able to do it, but I've probably said before, but in America they do that thing where they have an open air one.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And it's the screen's at the end of a lake and you sit in a rubber ring on the lake and watch it. So you're sort of submerged in water.
Fuck that.
And it's like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, but
it's just my bloody luck a shark would turn up.
Yeah.
Have they discontinued the Jaws ride at Universal now?
Yeah.
They have. I thought
they had quite a long time ago, but it's...
Because I'm sure I saw like a picture of something where they had drained, you know, like they drained a little lake of it.
Yeah.
You used to go around a little boat and you could see like the actual shark on the mechanism which was under the water.
Yeah.
You see, well, obviously where it would go around and it would pop up.
They changed it to the fucking Harry Potter ride.
Oh, is that what the Harry Potter ride is now? Oh.
That's what that is there. But in the one in California, when you go on the lot ride...
Yeah,
they've still got one that comes up on the side of the thing.
That was really smart. I used to like that. Yeah. Wow. Okay, that's a bargain.
Yeah.
Done. Forget that. But yeah, that's cool. Yeah, so I love going to watch. Yeah, the older sort of movies at cinema.
Yeah, I did. I would like to. There's a few films I would like to see. Say Jaws being one of them.
Oh, Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah.
That was recent. I went to see that again recently at the cinema.
Yeah, I'd like to go and see like a proper fucking horror film. I'd like to watch the original Chainsaw Massacre at the cinema.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be good, wouldn't it?
Yeah. And even better would be if you could watch it at a drive-in or something like that, real sort of American style.
Well, I was gutted because, so the local cinema did quite a lot this year. They had loads. And I wanted to go watch 2001 Space Odyssey.
Yeah.
I've seen it at the cinema before. It's been a long time and they had it. And then it got, and then they just cancelled it. I'm just wondering if it was because I was the only person who like, bought a ticket. So, yeah.
That's an investment though, that film. That's a long one.
That is a long one. Yeah.
Stanley Kubrick.
But again, another one of those ones where it's just built for the big screen. But
yeah, definitely.
But, yeah. So there's been some good ones. Good ones to see at the cinema. But yeah, I suppose for the ones that come out this year, Oppenheimer and Mission Impossible were probably the ones that stood out the most for me. It's just like some of the fucking stunts he's doing in Mission Impossible. Honestly, it's like mind-boggling.
Sweet Tom Cruise jumping off another fucking aeroplane!
Oh, please!
Yeah. Fucking wee lad.
Yeah, you can't beat it really at the cinema, can you? What else did happen this year? Oh, I got my Aliens tattoo this year.
And it looks fucking awesome.
It does look pretty smart, doesn't it?
Yeah, to put a picture of that on the old thing now.
Yeah, I'll look.
Ripley. Aliens. Ripley and Newt.
Someone said to me at work the other day, because I've got the Ripley badge on my lanyard, but it's the... It's
what are you going to say? I've had this fucking chest piece.
What, like Alan Partridge? Yeah. Yeah. I fainted three times.
Fainted three times, Alan.
No, she was like, she goes, oh, is that Ripley? And I said, yeah. She went, oh, that's really cool. I really like alien movies. I was like, oh, you like this. Yeah. And I showed her the tattoo, and she was, mind-boggled. So.
It's good. It's a very good bit of art, that. Very good.
Greatest artist of them all. But, yeah.
Yes, that's a bloody Da Vinci. I think the other thing I was going to say is the new series of Brassic that was on. I really enjoyed that. And what I really liked was introducing you to it, finally.
Yeah.
Because I knew you'd like it, and that really sort of put the cherry on it.
Yeah, because you'd mentioned it for quite a while, and it was exactly as you pitched it to me.
And that was a dangerous way of pitching it, because it's two things that you really like.
Exactly, yeah. To mash them up.
Yeah.
So Guy Ritchie and Only Fools and Horses. But it just had me... So it's a lot of expectation, but it had me wetting myself literally in the first 5 minutes. And that whole... We watched two episodes together, didn't we?
Yeah.
And, yeah, I just absolutely loved it. I was just, like, bawled over with laughter and tears and...
It's great.
Yeah, I just can't wait to watch the rest of it. And that's what I like about things like that. It's like when you introduce me to people just do nothing. And when you introduced it to me, you know, they had just released the fifth season, I think it was. So yeah. I had five series to catch up and loving it from, like, it from the get-go.
Yeah,
now, I've got another five series of this to go. It's the same with Brassic.
It's funny because I often come across these things a bit later on, like people just do nothing. I didn't really think it was going to be my cup of tea, and it's like, actually, this is kind of... It's
just our cup of tea.
Yeah,
though.
It's like kind of The Office type of awkward funniness with Grindr.
Yeah, I mean, he basically is, isn't he, David Brent?
Yeah. The Brent Meister General.
AKA for you.
But yeah, I'd say I really like Brassic, and looking forward to the Christmas special this week, Thursday.
I'm too old for this shit.
We've just cut in there because we've been waffling on for quite some time, as you can imagine. This is a two-parter, not a one-parter. So we will say cheerio for now.
Chow Min.
And we will continue next Wednesday.
For part.
Dush.
I want you to tell all your friends about me.
Where can they find us, Kev? Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, and now Threads. Any emails or recommendations, pop us over an electronic mail to podculturevultures@gmail.com.
Beautiful. And please remember to subscribe, follow and rate, and all the other business that goes with your social media claptrap. But until next time,
Catch you on a flippity flop.
Gully Bally.
Got it? Did you do anything else?
No, there's no more.
Right then, we'll fuck off.
I'm getting pissed for Christmas.
Just like the rest of them here. There's no future in this lonely world, so I might as well have a beer.
This is great banter. It really is.